Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $300 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $300 into something bigger when you bet on money lines, spread, totals, player props.
$300 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365.
Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
If you're a maintenance supervisor at a manufacturing facility and your machinery isn't working right, Grainger knows you need to understand what's wrong as soon as possible. So when a conveyor motor falters, Grainger offers diagnostic tools like calibration kits and multimeters to help you identify and fix the problem. With Grainger, you can be confident you have everything you need to keep your facility running smoothly. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
With training camps opening soon for the Chicago Bulls and most teams around the NBA, on today's episode, I want to revise my list on biggest questions for the Chicago Bulls heading into training camp. We're also going to talk about Nikola Vucevic's Eurobasket experience so far and an article that calls for the Bulls to emulate the Detroit Pistons rebuild and one key reason why it's not going to happen. We're going to talk about all that and more right after this.
You are now tuned in to Chicago Bulls Central, your number one spot for all things Chicago Bulls, hosted by Hayes.
What's going on, Bulls fans? Welcome to another episode of Chicago Bulls Central, your number one spot for everything Chicago Bulls related. I'm the host there, Hayes, but more importantly, you guys can follow the channel at Bulls Central Pod on every social media platform we happen to be on. With that said, let's go ahead and get into this content for today, y'all. And a couple of weeks ago, I talked about the biggest questions for the Chicago Bulls heading into training camp. And those main questions were, who's going to start at the small forward position? Which, of course, we have no clarity on because the Bulls have not actually done anything since then. So that's still a fairly big question. And also it was, what is the overall bench rotation going to look like with players fighting over kind of one last roster spot? But I have a couple that I want to add into that. But first, I want to elaborate on the first two, right? The starting small forward is something a lot of people have talked about. And the thing is, it is that a lot of people look at this and they ask the question on, okay, well, who's an actual small forward, right? Like, is it going to be Kevin Huerter? Is it going to be Isaac Okoro? A lot of people with the question that they have why Io can't be the starting small forward is because, well, yeah, he can play small forward, but is he a small forward? And I think that the question, I think the thing that we need to start with that is that, has Billy Donovan ever done anything to make you think he won't start three guards? Let's look at the beginning of last season. Zach LaVine was our starting small forward. Is Zach LaVine a small forward? No, he's a two, right? And I think one thing that we do know with Billy Donovan is that he's not afraid to go into three-guard lineups. Hell, he's not afraid to go into four-guard lineups that we've seen at times. Now, the four-guard lineups were more so when we had injuries, right? If they were the starting lineup, but it's something that he's done before. So I don't think anything that has happened yet stops Io DeSumo from potentially being the starting three. Now, I hope that it is an open competition. And that's what I hope with a lot of these things, is that the Bulls come into this situation and they really look at it as who is bringing it. And I think that that's something that you can't really fuss at. If it comes down to, listen, we're going into training camp. It's going to be between Isaac Okoro. It's going to be between Kevin Huerter. I would assume he's going to have his opportunity. Hell, maybe even Julian Phillips and Patrick Williams are in that too. Whoever brings it in training camp. The one thing that I don't want is, for example, for it to just go to Patrick Williams because he gets paid $18 million a year. That's kind of where my mindset is on this. If it's a competition, which, again, we're not in practice, we'll never know for sure how much of an actual competition it is, but I want to see those preseason games used. If you don't go through the first, you know, part of training camp before you start preseason games and you have a feeling on who that's going to be, I want to see that, all right, let other players get an opportunity in the preseason and let whoever plays the best, right? But that's a question that we're coming into, and it depends on what Billy Donovan and this coaching staff are going to prioritize getting from that three. Next up, the bench rotation. And that a lot of part is in line with how you have your starting small forward, but you got to look at it. Let's just say the starting five stays the same. So it's going to be Josh Giddey, Kobe White, Kevin Huerter, Matis Buzelis, Nikola Vucevic. Just to say for the nature of this conversation, this part of it, those five stay the same. At that point, you got Isaac Okoro, you have Io DeSumo, you got Trey Jones, right? Who you think all three of those guys are going to be in the rotation. So that's eight of your rotation right there. And then you got to play one of Zach Collins or Jalen Smith, right? So that's your nine-man rotation right there. So then you have Julian, P. Will, Dalen Terry, Noah Essengay. You got those four guys plus a Jalen Smith all fighting for the 10th spot in the rotation. And that brings to the next conversation. Yes, the bench rotation matters. What's going to be your center rotation? Who's going to fall out, right? Because we've seen it from Billy Donovan. Yes, we have more center depth than what we've had probably ever under Billy Donovan. Having Nikola Vucevic as a starting caliber center, having Zach Collins as a damn good solid two-way center, you know, that can start for you. I think his numbers as a starter kind of fluctuate pretty badly, but you still have him, and you have Jalen Smith there. Jalen Smith is a player who his per-minute production is still pretty solid. Billy Donovan just stopped playing him. What that center rotation is going to be, or your big rotation overall, are you going to be more open and apt to go double big? Because Jalen can play the four. Jalen's three-point shooting ability does allow him to play the four. And so some of those mismatch things that we've had before prior, do you avoid some of that? And do you play more? Are you more apt and more open to playing a double big lineup? Because if you are, that does open up the court or open up the rotation quite a bit for you. But that's a thing. And then I think more important than anything else as well, who's your closing lineup? And we've talked so much, me personally, and I hold myself accountable to that. I've talked so much about the starting lineup. I think sometimes I forgot to talk about, or I forgot to talk equally about who you trust as your closers. It's just as important as who your starters are going to be. You gotta trust who's closing your lineups for you. And if you can trust those guys, that's what puts you in a position that you feel confident in late in games. Some of those late game situations that the Bulls have put themselves in, or hopefully some of those late runs the Bulls can avoid. Who is your closing lineup? And that could be a mix of a lot of different things, right? That could lead one of your scorers in like a Kobe White or a Nikola Vucevic not being on the court if you're going with a more defensive-minded closing lineup. Who's the closing lineup that you trust in and out, day in and day out? Now, that means that it's going to fluctuate still some. There are going to be some times when you close, you do need more defense and offense depending on the situation. But most teams have a closing lineup that they trust that's their default. Now, if they need to make alterations based on a game to that, they'll do that. That's, again, a sign of good coaching, which some people don't have confidence in that we're going to have here consistently. But that's a big part of this also. So when you look at your training camp and some of that, not all of this is going to be able to be figured out in training camp in the preseason. You can have an idea on it, but there's nothing really to simulate actual games for the NBA. I think with the group that the Bulls are in as well for the in-season tournament, that means that they're going to play some really good games early on because we have a pretty competitive, a group there in the in-season tournament. So that means that you're going to have some pretty solid competition early on. And so that's an important part for this Bulls team going into next season as well. That closing lineup, how quickly can you figure that out, right? If you can figure that out over your first 10, 12 games, hopefully it doesn't even take that long, but let's just say it does. If you figure out over your first 10 or 12 games, who that closing lineup that you can trust is. And you would think on paper you want to mix between offense and defense in that closing lineup. If you can do that, great. And hopefully you can. And hopefully those are guys that keep proving that they can close, that you can trust them to close. And hopefully once you do find that, we keep on the health. One thing with the Bulls is that it seems like the last couple of years, we've had players that start catching rhythms and then they go out. That happened with Io last year. The season started off very rough. But as he started trying to figure it out a little bit more, that's when the shoulder injury happened. And then eventually season gets shut down, right? And so it's good to hear that he's a full go going into training camp this year. But those are some of the things that kind of affect you when you have those closing lineups. Kevin Huerter is another player that, like, I know that a lot of people have made a lot about Isaac Okoro because he's one of our only offseason acquisitions on top of Noah Essengay. It is what it is. The only two players not to come back for the Bulls are Talen Horton-Tucker and Lonzo Ball. Other than that, we're returning basically the same roster that we had last year. And Kevin Huerter, though, was a really good as far as for the connectivity for the Chicago Bulls last year. His minutes on the court were really good, especially his minutes with Josh Giddey were really good too. That's going to be another guy. Like it's how things fit together, right? You can look at things on paper and say, well, this guy should be better here. But sometimes once you get those guys on the court, the connectivity between those and how the skill sets overlap really kind of bring out the better in players. And that's something that, of course, every team hopes for. And hopefully the Bulls as well can be one of those teams that find that balance this season. I know that not everybody has faith in it. I know I'm one of the few people that I really do see this team as being a team that can compete for a 500 record and maybe slightly above. But a big part of that is going to be how these players come together, how they're used, how coaching is this season. All those things play a huge part into this team being whatever they can turn into next year. And let's hope that the best comes out of it. So, you know, that's what we'll see what happens. Overall, like I said many times before, this team has talent on it. And I think it has more talent than some people are giving it credit for. And for some people, they just have to prove it and have to prove it over the course of a full season. Do it from the start of the season. And those are questions that aren't just for training camp. That's for the regular season. And those questions are coming. And they're definitely going to be people that can't wait to see what this team does, whether they can't wait to see it so they can talk shit about it, or they can't wait to see it because they're hoping to be a little bit pleasantly surprised by where this team is. And we'll see. Moving into the next topic, though, Nikola Vucevic. I want to spend some time talking about him in Eurobasket real quick. Vuce has been doing what Vuce does. I mean, when you look at this stat line, 18.3 points per game on 52% shooting from the field, 11 rebounds per game, 3.8 assists per game, and one block per game. That's Vuce. That's who Vuce is now in this era of his career. He's an 18 and 11 guy that can give it to you on fairly decent efficiency and not taking that much shots from the people around him. Now, I do think things go through him a little bit more in Eurobasket than what they do for the Chicago Bulls, but let's just put that in perspective. Vuce's stat line for the Bulls last season was 18.5 points, 10.1 rebounds, and 3.8 assists per game. And it's literally, this is just who Vuce is. And this may be his last time playing in Eurobasket as well. He did average 0.8 blocks, so under a block per game. But again, those numbers are similar. And Vuce is one of the more interesting players because common thought, and when you talk about Eurobasket, you would always say, well, it doesn't translate one for one, right? But because Eurobasket is a different style of basketball than what the NBA game is. But for Nikola Vucevic, he's able to basically be the same player regardless of not only what team he is, the makeup of the team, the style. We saw him in a fast-paced offense for the Bulls, keep up basically what he did the year before in a more slow-down system, isolation system. But he's keeping that over in Eurobasket as well. And it's just, that's just who Vuce is, man. Vuce is just one of those players that you know the floor of Nikola Vucevic. And that's also could be said as a negative defensively for him because you know the floor of him defensively. But the floor of Nikola Vucevic offensively is a double-double.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $300 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $300 into something bigger when you bet on money lines, spread, totals, player props.
$300 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365.
Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. TNC supply in-app only.
Threat. And that's why in yesterday's episode, when we talked about like the Bulls offense being ranked a C- and all those type of things, and I said, well, like, and one of the reasons that we're given was Vuce's age. I'm like, I think Vuce is going to age pretty gracefully. I think he's shown that. And like I've said before, and I'm going to say this almost every time Vuce comes up, do not be surprised if Nikola Vucevic signs an extension with the Chicago Bulls. I know that's not what people want to hear. I know that's not where people want the Bulls' mind to be. That's not where they want Nikola Vucevic to be. And that's not to say that the Bulls still don't need to find their actual center of the future. But do not be surprised until they find or have that guy lock, stock, and barrel on this roster that Nikola Vucevic is going to maintain being the starting center here, or at least the center on this roster for quite a while. And, you know, we'll see there. And like I said, Vuce, really good efficiency. Over 53% from the field last season that he did, and shot 40% from three as well last season. Like, Vuce, for what it's worth, has been one of the most adaptable centers. When you look at just how the NBA has changed around Vuce, right? And again, this is not at all to say that we don't need a more defensive, rim-running, shot-blocking center. That would make this system go so much easier, especially on the defensive side of the ball. But for what Nikola Vucevic has been over his career, when you look at how the three-point era really evolved during Nikola Vucevic's time and during his prime, and he's adapted to that. I think I saw a list the other day where Nikola Vucevic has one of the most three-pointers made by a center in NBA history. Like, he has adapted. That doesn't mean things are all perfect just because you can adapt, but Vuce is an adaptable center, and I do think that sometimes the criticism around Vuce is too much for what people, because people are judging him by what he never was and never was meant to be on this team. The Bulls incorrectly, I want to say, hoped that Patrick Williams was going to develop into that defensive four that you need next to Nikola Vucevic. And that just never happened. But Vooch has basically been who the Bulls wanted him to be since he came here. And they brought him in here to be that offensive guy, that guy that can, that has that floor offensively. And he's been that his whole entire time here. And that has not changed. But, you know, Vooch is one of the most criticized Bulls. And I understand why, because of how the defense works around him. But it's just, I think Vooch is going to be one of those players that people appreciate more later on when they realize that, like, when you do have a different center in there, like, damn, they're not doing X, Y, Z, or we fell off in this area. But, you know, it is what it is. And that's just how the NBA goes. So it is what it is there. All right, let's get into the last topic for today. Okay, so I want to talk about this article over from Pippen Ain't Easy, written by Andrew Hanlon, in which he said the Bulls can steal the rebuild blueprint from the Detroit Pistons. I want to talk about his points here, because I do think they're rooted in some really good things, but I do think there's one key thing in this of why the Bulls aren't going to emulate it exactly, right? And he says this: the first thing the Pistons organization did that will be the most difficult for Chicago is clean house. Detroit fired coach Monty Williams and hired J.B. Bickerstaff, who just helped guide the Cleveland Cavaliers from a dark spot in the Eastern Conference. Langdon came in as president of basketball operations with a clear path to change a losing culture. Now, I do think we have to start there, right? First of all, Monty Williams and Billy Donovan are not one and the same. Monty did not believe in that young roster that they had there in Detroit, and therefore they moved on from him after they had to get off from the job three times just to get him to take the job, right? And so I think that's different there. It wasn't just that Monty Williams was a bad coach. It was that Monty Williams clearly did not believe in the young players that they had there. Look at how Jaden Ivey was used under Monty Williams versus how he was used under J.B. Bickerstaff. Right now, he did eventually go down with injury. Those type of things are there. And so that first right there is one of the big differences here in that, is that they moved on from Monty Williams, not because Monty was just came in there and stunk up the joint. They moved on from him because he came in there and did not understand did not believe in the young players that they had that were supposed to be building blocks of what they were doing there. And so that was a big part of that also in all of this, right? And then, of course, you know, Langdon coming in. Now, you went out and you got a guy that's a younger, more kind of, he had no attachment. He was willing to move on and really evaluate the roster was, and they do have a good GM in that. Also, one of the things that they, of course, point out is that look at the drafting that the Detroit Pistons did. Not only, of course, hitting on Cade Cunningham, who's an amazing player, and it's good for Cade Cunningham to have the season that he had last year that really established him as an up-and-coming star in this league. But then you also look at the players that they hit on. Ausar Thompson, Ron Holland, getting Jalen Duren, right? And looking at guys that can help, that are going to propel their young player that they drafted one overall in Cade Cunningham, and seeing what that's going to turn into for that franchise. And so and I know this is going to be something that Bulls fans look at and say, yeah, fire everybody. Let's go get a number one pick. Let's go do all these things. And the thing is that the difference in that is that we already know what this front office is and is not willing to do as far as tanking, as far as all of that. They're not doing it. Now, that isn't to say should they not. That's not even the conversation I have, and sometimes I have to lay that out for people that aren't a little bit more quicker to the gun and understanding. But this is a front office that does not want to bottom out, right? Now, one could say that what the Bulls can also take from this is you have to hit on your draft picks. And for too long, the Bulls drafted these developmental pieces that, I mean, we still don't exactly know who Dalen Terry is. We don't. We still don't exactly know who Julian Phillips is. Now, Julian got injured his rookie year, was coming off the bench pretty decently, but wasn't really featured. And some could say that's on him, that's on coaching. But that was much later down. And so when you are picking later in the draft, you have to make sure you hit even more. Now, could Matis Bouzelis and Noah Essengay be our guys that we end up hitting on that could be the Ron Hollins, our Ausar Thompson that we look at as guys that can be building blocks? You better damn well hope so that you can. The Pistons were one of the teams, I think people forget, it wasn't that long ago, that the Pistons were the worst team in the NBA. And they went from worse to where they are now. And this is a team that's competing probably for a top five seed in the East this year, right? And I remember a couple years ago, and it's funny, when I was one of the people that said, listen, the Detroit Pistons are a team that are up and coming. And people were like, Hayes, why are you giving so much love to the Pistons? I can't believe you're doing this. And now look at where they are. Now, that's not to say that I had some magical crystal ball where I saw things differently, but I did see and look at the young talent that they had and thought, hey, if they develop on these guys, they're going to be a guys that can really go pretty far. From 2009 to 2024, they made the playoffs only three times, and they got swept all three times. They were 0-12 in the postseason from 2009 to 2024. 15 years. 15 years. But I do think the Detroit Pistons are a good example of how when you start taking things seriously. Now, yes, people are going to say, well, they hit on the number one overall pick in Cade Cunningham. Yes. But even outside of that, look at their team building. Look at how me and a lot of people judge them for bringing in veterans like Tim Hardaway Jr. last season, right? For bringing him in, right? And looking at what that could have possibly meant for that team. I criticized them bringing in Tobias Harris. And those are two veterans that ended up actually playing pretty damn well for that team. It was unexpected, right? Me and the basketball community made fun of them for bringing in two of the more inefficient players, but they end up coming in and they were those veterans that helped those young players go into the playoffs. A player like Jaden Ivey, who people doubted exactly what he was going to be. Look at what he turned into. They took a chance on somebody like Malik Beasley, who's always been a decent shooter. But then look, he came up second in sixth man of the year voting. So things have to crack right outside of just your draft, but you have to have the right guy. Now, the problem is that the Bulls believe, or maybe not the problem, that Billy Donovan is that guy. And he's going to have to prove to be that. But where the Pistons cleaned house at, the Bulls have already shown that they are doubling down and they've locked in this front office, this head coach for another 3 years after this season. So that means that what happens over these next 3 years, you have to hit on what you're trying to do. Development, draft picks, all of that. I would love to be able to say in a year or whatever else. And technically, the Bulls have a shorter amount to go from where our record was at 39 games last year to being above 500 than what the Pistons had the last 2 years in getting there. But the question is that it's different when you've done things consistently well. The Bulls haven't done it consistently well, so there's still that doubt around how well are they going to do it going forward. And I can't blame anybody for that doubt because looking at what this team has done, they've grown. When you look at it, they went from 26th defensive rating from 2023 and 24 to 11th last season. If the Bulls can have that type of defensive efficiency jump with what we already had in offense, yeah, we can be there. But they also have a leader in Cade Cunningham. And because the Bulls aren't going to bottom out, they aren't that team that's going to tank, they aren't going to try to increase their lottery odds, they're hoping that that guy is going to be and develop from this roster, whether it be Josh Giddey, Kobe White, Modest Bouzelis, Noah Esky. They're hoping that the player that can be their star and their leader is already on this roster and that they can develop here. And that's where a lot of people have a lot of doubt over what it is. It's a lot different to hope that a number one overall pick, even though that was labeled to be a weaker draft, can develop into your star and your leader than what you're hoping that a guy like Modest can. But Modest has shown those flashes, and let's hope that he can get there. But having a number one pick, it brings more trust that he's going to turn into that guy than a player pick in the teens, right? So now we gotta hope that somebody can do that. And we got to hope that the pieces fit together as well. Josh Giddey, Kobe White, Noah Esky, Modest Bouzelis. If these pieces fit together like the Bulls are hoping for, maybe we can be there eventually. And that's the hope. But let me know what you guys think on all of that down below. Make sure you guys are following us at Bulls Central Pod. You send us any feedback, questions, comments, concerns, BullsCentralPod@gmail.com. Lastly, if you want to leave a text message and our voicemail for the mailbag, the number to do so, 773-270-2799. We are the number one spot for everything Chicago Bulls related, but that is thanks to you, lovely and beautiful people. And like I like to end every episode on, go Bulls. Love you guys. See you right if you can, y'all. Peace.
This has been a presentation of the Break Media.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $300 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $300 into something bigger when you bet on money lines, spread, totals, player props.
$300 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365.
Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Finding great candidates to hire can be like, well, trying to find a needle in a haystack. Sure, you can post your job to some job board, but then all you can do is hope the right person comes along. Which is why you should try ZipRecruiter for free at ZipRecruiter.com/zip. ZipRecruiter doesn't depend on candidates finding you. It finds them for you. Its powerful technology identifies people with the right experience and actively invites them to apply to your job. You get qualified candidates fast. So while other companies might deliver a lot of hay, ZipRecruiter finds you what you're looking for. The needle in the haystack.
See why 4 out of 5 employers who post a job on ZipRecruiter get a quality candidate within the first day. ZipRecruiter, the smartest way to hire. And right now, you can try ZipRecruiter for free. That's right, free. At ZipRecruiter.com/zip. That's ZipRecruiter.com/zip. ZipRecruiter.com/zip.